All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? How fucking are ya? Hey, what's up? All right, this is the first one. This is the first one, the podcast I don't have a name for. We'll call it the Thursday, Monday morning podcast that comes out whenever the fuck I want it to. What do you care? You got paid this morning, right? Oh, fatty fucking cakes came walking around with his tie that doesn't make it over his stomach. His fat, bloated bowels, right? His guts from all those fucking Cinnabons he shoves down there. I just think it's interesting that the swirl of a Cinnabon kind of looks like your small intestines. You know what I mean? That's where it's going to sit. Your body doesn't know what to do with that, right? That's like that carburetor I tried to rebuild years ago. Still sitting down there in a couple of fucking trays, just a bunch of pots. That's what happens when you eat a Cinnabon. So I guess it's Thursday, right? Thursday afternoon. What the fuck do you need me for? You got your money, right? Government took part of it. Then they got to go pay the bankers, right? The Federal Reserve and all of that shit. But you know what? You got yourself enough money for a 12-pack. Maybe a new pair of shoes. Ladies, I want to get myself some Louboutins. I feel like I've been good. I haven't eaten any carbs, any sugars. Fuck this. I'm buying some red bottoms. I fucking got a song in my head, but I can't sing it because it says like the N-word like 15 times. It's this Erykah Badu song. It's like, you got to, how the fuck does it go? I don't want it. Right? You got a PhD and with cum laude, but you don't want me with my GED. I don't want it. You know? Hey, black people, if you're going to fucking cross over, can you tone down the N-words so white people can sing along outside of the car? You fucking singing it in the car, you don't give a shit. Then you get out of the car and it's still in your head like row, row, row your boat. Except just imagine that song with the N-word peppered into it. And all of a sudden people staring at you, you know, when you're at the ATM. Thanks a lot, Erykah. Anyways, this is the Thursday fucking afternoon podcast. This is just me dipping in. Just dipping in to see how your week's going. How your week's going over there. I'm fucking amped up, man. I'm amped up. See, you usually get me in the morning time, but I'm fucking amped up right now. You know why? Because I had a great fucking lesson today. I'm getting ready to test to get my helicopter license. I fucking crushed it today, other than the fucking the 180 auto. I fucked that up because we were going to the left. I wasn't thinking. You're supposed to apply right pedal. I started going the left pedal. Oof, Jesus Christ. My instructor's like, yeah, that was good. You know, it's the first fucking heart attack I had this week. Other than that, my running landing was great. Shout out to all the helicopter pilots who are now going to write in, oh, you fucking stepped on the left pedal. Yeah, I did. Just the same way you did. I fucked it up. All right, hang on a second. I thought I was going to have like some fucking, some reads here. Jesus Christ. Am I going to have to hit pause this early in? Whatever. We're working out the glitches here. I got a text right now. All right, there we go. So anyways, I'm going to be doing one of these like probably every other week. Like if I'm on the road, I won't do one that week. Cause I'll probably be flying. I'll be in flight. I'll be in travel. You know what I mean? Going down to the airport, seeing all the fatties, not taking off their fucking shoes and their really long belts. I'm getting over this cough. The fucking whiskers that I inhaled are lodged way down in the back of my throat. They're driving me fucking nuts. I drank like fucking a quart of milk. I ate a loaf of bread. I tried everything. Peanut butter, honey, everything. Fucking tape wrapped around the handle of a knife and just shoved it down my throat trying to get it onto the tape. Nothing has worked. So I actually called up an nose and throat doctor. And I'm just going to have him fucking go down. I'm going to freeze up my throat somehow. Probably inject me in the neck. Right? And then they're just going to take it out. So I got that going on this afternoon. Then I just should be right as rain. That's how I look at it, you know? Anyways, God damn it. This is fucking pissing me off. I thought I had everything that I needed for this, and I don't. So, yeah, I got to do that. There it is. There it is. There it is. The fucking whiskers. The fucking whiskers. So, basically, what this podcast is going to be, it's going to be me bullshitting for about a half an hour. And then I'm going to throw in some greatest hits from way back in the day when I used to call in on a flip phone. Like this week, I have a classic story of almost getting the shit kicked out of me in a bathroom at a home game for the Bills and the Jets because I was wearing a Patriots hat. I have the original Rose Bowl story when I first kind of was hanging with Bartnick and answering a relationship email. That'll be the second half of it. And the first half of it is going to be me running my fucking mouth, talking about some, what do you call it? Whatever the fucking news stories are of the day. Some of the top ones. Like how about Method Man clarifies stance on Wu-Tang Clan's Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. I listened to their albums a zillion times. Method Man is listening, just for whatever reason. Just for the record, Method Man, I do know what you're saying. Okay? You don't have to check in with me every half a sentence. I know what you're saying. All right? We're speaking English. We're speaking the king's fucking English. You twist it up a little bit, but I know what you're saying. You don't have to ask me. Yo, motherfuckers, we're sitting around. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I know what you're saying. I got myself a 40. I got myself a shorty. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yes, Method Man. I know what you're saying. All right, earlier this month, trouble seemed to be brewing within the Wu-Tang Clan as Method Man called the group's plan to block the commercial release of the one-of-a-kind album Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, however you say it, for 88 years. He called it fucking stupid. Why were they going to block it? Now, however, Method Man has at least partially recanted the statement saying that it was a misunderstanding. He partially blamed XXL interviewer Miranda Johnson. That's a guy? Miranda Johnson, for his comment saying that she... Oh, for his Method Man's. Pronouns always fuck me up. Saying that she misled him with her questioning. What the fuck? What am I even reading here? Method Man goes off on mystery Wu-Tang album. Jesus Christ. Now, there's a group that was not thinking long-term. When you have 56 fucking members, you can do that when you're young, right? When you're all living on top of each other. But when you go to do that reunion tour and everybody shows up, I mean, just the amount of money that Wu-Tang Clan has to spend in those fucking hand towels that every rapper has to have over his shoulder, you know what I mean? So he can wave it in the air and then wipe off his fucking sweat from I don't know what. I guess screaming can make you sweaty. God knows that happens during my act. Sorry, I thought that story was going to be something completely different. So evidently the Thursday, Monday morning podcast is just going to be an absolute shit show. What else has happened here in the news? This is fucking horrific. Hey, you know what I noticed today on the fucking highway? I never look at anybody. When I drive down the highway, I never fucking look at anybody. When I drive by him, I never fucking look at him. Have I made the point yet? I don't fucking look at him. But for some fucking reason, whenever I decide to look over at somebody, they're always looking at me. It's like, what the fuck are you looking at? Look at the road. I'm not driving into you. That happened today. I was driving along, you know, this fucking woman wouldn't, you know, wasn't driving the way I needed her to drive, so I went around her. I mean, you know, we sort of were driving alongside each other for a couple of blocks, you know, red lights and shit. And finally, I looked over. She's looking right at me. It's like, what is your fucking problem? What did I do? Or how nosy are people? Is it because I'm a loner that I don't look? Do you guys look? And if you do look, what are you looking at? Yeah, Jesus, the usual depressing news. Two officers shot in St. Louis. Clinton gets revival. Dude, are you really going to tell me? Are you guys really going to tell me that for the next election, the way it's going, is it really going to come down to a Bush and a Clinton again? Can we please get rid of those two pieces of shit families already? You know? Just enough with the two of them. Can we get some fresh blood in there lying to me? That's what I loved about Obama for the last 8 years. Just a different last name, different gene pool. We've gone Bush, Clinton, Bush. And we get 8 year break with Obama going, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Now we're going to do the exact same thing we've always been doing, Obama. But thank you for fucking trying. Right? And then we're going to go right back to another Clinton or a Bush. People, there's no fucking way we can ever have a president named Jeb. Okay? And I got no problem with some woman becoming president, some fucking broad lying to me for fucking 8 years. And they all fucking lie. What are they going to do? They don't make enough money. The president doesn't make enough money to actually get anything fucking done. They need people. They need these rich cunts. That's what the problem is. They need these fucking people so they can never do something that's good for you or for me. They need the rich cunts. They need the rich cunts' money so that they can and get the fucking office, right? And then they owe those cunts a favor. And if they don't get if they don't do them the favor, they either boot them out after 4 years, or if they really get mad at them, they give them the convertible ride down there in Vegas, right? All of a sudden, you're like, hey, how come we're not flying into Dallas International Airport? Why are we flying back to Dallas Love Field, by the way, which still exists? Do you guys know that? That's the one Kennedy flew into. Dallas Love Field. I ain't no love in Texas, man. I ain't no love unless you a white man with a black mustache and a big fucking pistol. That's how that state works, right? You know, somebody gave me shit about not doing, you know, the Southern tour through Texas. It's like, you're not the South. Texas is not the South. Texas is its own deal. All right? It's like a Midwest Florida. You know? That's the best way to describe Texas. You know? It's like Florida without Cubans. Can you picture that? You know what I mean? Does that make any sense to anybody? To anybody at all? I almost said Bueller. Anybody. You know why? Because last night I watched one of those, the making of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and everyone was talking about, you know, we didn't know if it was going to be funny or not, but blah, 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 blah. And they just kept talking about how John Hughes, who kind of looked like that guy who makes those documentaries that really aren't documentaries, the sort of op-ed pieces. You know, the fat guy who comes on every once in a while with his scraggly beard and his old fucking hat, his I'm down to earth hat. What's that guy's name? Old ham sandwich there. Roger and Me, Bowling for Columbine. What is that? What is that big fatty cake's name? Him with his stupid ass fucking documentaries where he comes off as the smartest man on the fucking planet and they make everybody on the right just an absolute Jesus freak fucking moron, you know? And people like buy into that shit. It's like, ah, you know, that's the fringe. You get all the way over to the right, you get maniacs. Same way on the left. You get all the way over on the left. And then you got people screaming at you saying you should never eat any animals. We shouldn't have pets. And they're throwing fucking, you know, I don't know, crayons, melted crayons at your fucking fake fur jacket. Right? Those fucking lunatics. The fuck was my point? I don't even remember. Whatever. I just remember that fatty coming in. There are no terrorists in America. Oh, really? Is that what you learned at the diner? Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? This might be the one and only fucking Thursday afternoon podcast I do. Right? What do you give a fuck? You got your check, right? What are you going to do this weekend? Huh? What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and if you're out on the East Coast, what are you bitching about the weather? Oh, I just want it to melt. I'm just like so ready for winter to be over. Who gives a fuck? What'd you think was going to happen? You dumb fuck. You got a car, right? Get in it and drive south. Go get yourself a job at a Waffle House like the rest of us. And get out of that horrid fucking part of the world to live in. You know? You know, I did see something hilarious the other night. My wife watches fucking Survivor. So, of course, it's like a prerequisite of that show that they got to have some loudmouth from Boston. So this dude's on there from Boston, and he's in this tribe with this fucking, this Southern guy who's just like the martyr. Every day he gets up, and he's just like, there's work to be done, man. There's work to be done. And everybody's like, we're all doing work. We don't have to do work when you decide you're ready to do it. We're going to fucking do it. So he gives the Boston guy shit, and he's like flipping out. Dude, fucking relax, all right? You're not my father. You know, he's doing that whole thing. I know, I know about hard work. I'm fucking jacked over here. That's dedication. And at one point, when he was going off on the Southern guy, after the Southern guy left, or the fucking Boston guy went to go to collect firewood, he goes, he was sitting there bitching. He goes, why don't you go back to Texas? Nobody wants to fucking live there. He goes, that's why a house only costs $100,000 in Texas, but in Massachusetts it costs $400,000. He said nobody wants to live there. I'm telling you, if that guy had a podcast and a fucking stand-up act, that is the best way to sell tickets in a state. You just start shitting all over them. Twitter bans revenge porn. Here's a story. Here's a story about some porno. Is that shit real? Do people actually do that? Revenge porn. Twitter is the latest internet company to crack down on revenge porn with explicit rules that ban the posting of naked photographs and videos without the permission of the person in the photograph or video. You may not post intimate photos, but blah, 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 blah. Does that count for women doing it to their boyfriends too, or no? Probably not. I had a buddy of mine that happened to. It's fucking hilarious. She put it up on Craigslist. It was a buddy of mine. He was standing in a doorway, leaning against it with his dick out, just completely fucking naked with this look of supreme confidence. And I got to admit it, he just laughed and rolled with it. And that was it. And it disappeared. Impersonation, trademark. Who the fuck's going to read all of this shit? Who the fuck is going to read all of that? What kind of an asshole seriously would do that to an ex? I don't give a fuck what your ex did to you. If you post naked pictures and that type of shit. Now, who the fuck, who's going to read all of that? Nobody's going to read all of that. Anyways, what are we, 16 minutes in? You know, this is why I do a podcast once a week. I'm all out of shit to talk about. You know what I should have done? I should have done this podcast after they froze my fucking throat and yanked out a fucking half week's worth of whiskers out of my throat. I cannot wait for that procedure. They better do it. They better not be like, well, you know, actually, where it's located, I think it's better off if we just let it work it out itself. You know, it's gradually going down. It'll probably be another week to 10 days. I think if you don't think about it, I think it should be a little more comfortable each day. If after 10 days, if it's still there, I want you to call this number and you will get an answering machine. And no one will get back to you. And that's it. Here's a little bottle of pills that you can get addicted to. It eventually will have you out on the street addicted to heroin. And I'm going to go to the golf course and see my mistress. That's what I'm going to do. It would be great if people were that honest. You know what I mean? Just walked into a Burger King instead of saying, can I help you? Somebody's just standing behind the counter just be like, yeah, I really don't want to do this job, but you know, I don't have the balls to do something illegal because I feel like I would get caught and I don't know how to fight and I don't feel like getting raped in the butt. So what sort of sandwich would you care for me to push on the thing here? Huh? You realize this shit's all poison, don't you? Please don't tell me you actually believe that these things are flame broiled somewhere. I'm sure they are somewhere overseas in some sad land. Well, they got some fucking five-year-old flipping 500 burgers at once. You know, they're beating him on his calves like that fucking Vikings running back with a switch. You know? That was one of those things. What the fuck was wrong with that guy? I don't give a fuck how you were brought up. The second your own child is bleeding because of you hitting it like it's a fucking dog. You know? What a fucking weirdo. But despite all that, I don't understand why they can't still play football. There was nothing wrong with the way he was playing football. Do you understand? It's not the football playing. They should have said you're suspended from having a kid and he's not allowed to see his kid. That's the funniest fucking thing ever. They take the guy's goddamn dream away and then he goes home to his fucking kid who he was kicking the shit out of already when he was making NFL money. Now you took the money away from him. You know, it's like that that fucking Ray Rice guy. Why would you do that? He was beating the shit out of her when he had a job. You're going to take his fucking job away? Now what? Now what happens the next time they can't find the remote? You know? Unbelievable. What a fucking story that was. That was such a brutal story. And then she went ahead and married him. And at that point, that's just one of those times where it's just like, you know, do I really need to be emotionally invested in this anymore? When the person you're trying to help out doesn't seem to give a fuck or is kind of okay with it, you know, what am I supposed to do at that point? Am I really going to fucking you? Well, she's been psychologically beat that. You know, maybe, she, you know, I don't know. Maybe they worked it out. Listen, how many times did we go in elevators? Think about it. I've been with you 5 years. How many elevator rides did we take? Countless. Countless. Not to mention the amount of times. Oh, I forgot something down in the car. You jump in the elevator, we go down, we go back up again. That's an extra fucking ride. Right? How many times did I drop you and drag you out by your hair? Once. All right? Look at the money I'm making. So here's the deal. Do the math. All right? I make what? $4 to $6 million a year. Okay? For the rest of my NFL career. We get to live in this big house. You get your shoes and your dresses and a little fancy two-seater Mercedes, right? Drive around town, making all the bitches jealous at you. And all you got to deal with is once every 10 years, I'm going to drop you in an elevator and drag you out by your hair. Okay? Can you deal with that? Before you agree to spend the rest of your life with me, you have to know that that is still on the table. I'm going to try to not do it for another at least 11 years. I want to beat my last streak. You know, I'm competitive. I'm an athlete. It's why I'm successful. It's what I do. Right? But you got to know that it's coming. It's coming because I'm not going to lie to you. Just by the simple fact that you're a woman and I'm a man, you're going to annoy me. You know? I'm not going to lie to you. I was thinking about doing it the other day. We just weren't in an elevator and I just feel like, you know, that's my trademark. I can't just drop you outside and then just grab you and drag down the street. The cavemen did that. That's already been done. You know? I don't know. There's something about when I read that Otis name, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, man, game time. It is on. It is fucking on. Anyways, so I'm sitting here in my fucking office. Keep telling myself I'm going to clean this fucking place up. I gotta get this shit. I got to get this fucking goddamn pilot test behind me. It's been my entire focus is everything else in my life just goes off the fucking rails. I already pissed off my wife today, right? I'm getting ready to sit down and do this fucking, this podcast, whatever the hell you want to call it. She called me, right? With very nice, sweet voice. And I just went, what? She goes, nothing, forget it. And I was like, ah, oh, Jesus. Oh, God, she was trying to be nice to me there. Hey, how about those New England Patriots, huh? Doing what they always do. We finally got a defense. We finally got it all together. What are we going to do? What do you want? You want more money? Go fuck yourself. Hey, Revis, thanks for helping us get a championship. Go fuck yourself. Sign with the Jets. We don't care. Why do we do that? Can we just... I think the only person we've re-signed in the entire Belichick era has been Tom Brady. Everybody else, I don't know what it is. The second you actually ask for a little more money, you know? Bob Kraft, he must be like fucking Joe Jackson or something. I don't give a fuck how much he looks all smiley and happy. He kind of looks like Santa outside of the suit minus the beard, right? But I don't know. I just, the guy, he just don't fucking re-sign anybody. Now we got to start all over again. All over again, right back. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, go fuck yourself. You won those championships. I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just looking at it as a business problem there. You solve this fucking problem. Now you got to start all over again. It's like, hey, we need to paint this place. Then you paint it, right? Then the second you're done, pay, all right, it's done. And then what do? You fucking sideswipe and piss all over the fucking walls? I don't know. Whatever. They obviously know what the fuck they're doing. I don't get it. I don't want it. Why the fuck do they do that? I got to tell you something, man. Fucking Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan is like that psycho fucking girl you can't get out of your fucking life. That cunt goes out. He didn't even leave the state of New York. Old foot fetish went up there to fucking Rochester. He's got himself a hell of a defense. I want to say they traded. Who did they get? Matt Cassel. They signed Matt Cassel, which is a step up. They don't have Geno. That's the Jets. What fucking mediocre guy did they have out there in Buffalo? I don't know who it was. I don't know, but at the end of the day, it's the Bills. And at the end of the day, it's Rex Ryan. Okay? That and $2 will get you fucking $2.50. I'm telling you. There's just something about that franchise. They are snake bitten. And I think Rex Ryan, I don't actually think he's Rex Ryan is snake bitten. I think he got fucked over by the Jets. I think he had a bad GM. I think if you give that guy decent players, he's shown that you can get you the AFC championship game. You know? And what the Patriots are doing, basically letting their entire defense sign somewhere else. You know? I don't know. Should make things very interesting on the AFC East. And Ndamukong Suh signed with the Dolphins. Did you see that shit? How much fucking trouble is that guy going to get in down there on Miami Beach? Jesus Christ. Well, I guess he only gets in trouble on field. I don't know. I like that guy a lot. To me, he is an old school NFL player. That guy plays like the way they used to play. Like, he has everything on his highlight reel other than like a clothesline. Fucking head slap. It's just old school football. All that shit you can't do now. But anyways, what do we got coming up this week? So, old Freckles this week is going to be in, the fuck am I going to be? I'm going to be at the Punchline in Atlanta. That club lost its lease. It's a classic comedy club that's been open, you know, since I was just a little kid, and everybody signed the wall. Like young Jerry Seinfeld's on the wall. There's even a fucking comedian who got convicted of being a serial rapist. He's fucking signed up there on that wall. And I remember that guy. I remember when that guy got busted. This was late 90s. Me and him, I had just signed with the college agent, and that college agent represented this dude. And right as I signed with this college agent, they were like, we're going to get you all these colleges. You're gonna have more work than you know what to do with. You know, as everybody says, it actually ended up being true, though, with those guys. The shit hit the fan, and this dude got busted for being a serial fucking rapist. And I remember I couldn't get my agent on the phone for like fucking a week to 10 days because Hard Copy and all these fucking people just kept trying to get footage of his stand-up act. And my agency were reputable people, and they just weren't going to give him any of that footage. Not to mention, they were fucking sick when they found out, and they just kept thinking of the guy calling up going, hey, man, I want to get some more work. I want to get some more work. They're thinking he was just helping them go out there and fucking rape people. And so anyways, the Improv ended up being the ones that gave him tape, and it was fucking hilarious. So they found like an evening at the Improv that he did, and they just put this clip on where he was doing like relationship material. So they're like, so-and-so busted for being a serial rapist was actually a stand-up comedian for the last 17 years. And then they just cut to his act. And he's just like, you know, women are always shopping. They're always, you know, like, I mean, guys, we don't know what we're wearing, right? Just doing that like classic fucking awful 80s stand-up shit. And this guy was actually a serial fucking rapist, man. It was unreal. I remember a long time ago when I started out in Boston. Wham, bam, bam, boop, boop, boop. Me and Patrice got an idea where we were going to write a movie, which of course meant we were never going to do it, where we were going to have a stand-up comedian that was actually a serial killer. And we got the idea watching Dave Attell. When we watched Dave, when we first saw him, he was just so different and so fucking out there. and so dark, and then like walled off, like we didn't know him at all. Now that we know he's a total fucking sweetheart, but we were saying, we came up with this idea, and you basically, the dude, it was like Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer meets Punchline. And the dude would go out on the road, and he'd be up there just, I guess we were going to make it more like a Dave Attell style, which kind of probably would have given it away. I imagine once we brought it to the industry, they'd be like, what if he was just like, everybody loved him? What about that? All right. What if he only kills people that deserve to die, right? Like they'd be pitching, what the fuck's that serial killer movie or TV show? Oh God, I can't wait to get these fucking whiskers out of my throat. The fuck is the name of that show? It was on Showtime with the guy from 6 Feet Under. Was it Larry? Who's Larry or something like that? The fuck was it called? I used to watch it. He stepped through the plastic. I watched it until he paired up with Jimmy Smits, and then it just fucking went over the top for me, and I had to stop watching. What the fuck was that show called? You know what I'm saying. Plus, after a while, it annoyed me that he only killed bad people. You know? This serial killer with the heart of gold. Anyways, so we came up with an idea to write a movie, basically so that he'd go out and he would do gigs. And then in the end of the night, he'd have a couple of pops up at the bar, and then he would go out and go kill people. And we'd be like, oh, fuck, that'd be the sickest fucking movie ever. And we did not write one word. Not a fucking word. I'm going to just start telling you guys all the ideas for movies that I'm never going to fucking write, because maybe one of you will sit down and actually write the fucking thing, because I'd watch that movie. I'd play the fucking person, right? He'll play the person. I'll play the fucking serial killer. Anyways, all right, there's your little half hour for the week, huh? I'm helping you along through your goddamn week, man, through your fucking week. And I'm going to start doing these whenever I can. I'm going to try to be a little more organized next time. I'm kind of under the gun here. And for this fucking thing I got to do. These bastards better be able to get this thing out. I was actually thinking, you know, one of the things that I want to do in this business, to get out of this business. I was actually talking to Verzi the other night. And Verzi was talking about how gangster it is to retire out of the entertainment business. And I was like, man, I don't know. I think it's also pretty fucking sick if you can be like 80 and still sell out a theater, still make your fucking money, and you're not some scared old man going down and fucking trying to cash in a senior citizen's check. But he really got me thinking about it. And he was talking about like the age right around 70. And I was just like, well, then what the fuck would you do? I would have to have something to do. Because other than that, I'm just sitting around waiting to die, which, you know, right now I'm actually putting together a will, something I finally got to do, which has been creepy and oddly like relaxing, like just to know that everything's going to be all right. Let's just get everything out to wherever the fuck it needs to go, to the right people. And I was really cool with it until I started reading the will, and it said, upon Bill Burr passing away. They started talking about me in the past tense, and it was pretty creepy, but also kind of cool, you know? I'm fucking out. So I'm thinking, yeah, maybe 70. 70 is the call. You get the fuck out of Dodge. I don't know, but I was like, I'd have to do something. Like, I always got to do something. I always got to be doing something, like learning something, or I just feel like I'm just wasting my life, right? So I was thinking, maybe I got 10 years on Verzi. Maybe this is it. Maybe he retires at 70. I retire at 80, right? Right as my pants start fucking shooting up my chest, and then we open a cigar bar or something. I don't know. I don't know what to do, but I don't know. But anyways, going back to this, I got to figure out a way. You know, when I had this hair in the back of my throat, you know, I've always wanted to like come up with something, that one of those dumbass inventions, like a cell phone holder. new and improved or some shit that you sell for $19.95. And if you act right now, we're throwing another 60 of them because they don't cost us shit to make, right? And you just somehow make your money. I've always wanted to come up with something like that. When I had this hair in the back of my throat, that's all I could think of. Is what if there was a tool for that, for when you get a hair stuck in your back of your throat so you don't got to go down to a goddamn throat doctor or eat a fucking loaf of bread or suck down milk. That's the commercial right there. You know this feeling. We've all been there. You got a hair in the back of your throat. Then they just cut to somebody going, you've tried hacking it up. You've tried spitting. Right? You've tried drinking milk. But nothing works. And the person, like, you know, shakes their head with the muted trumpet. Introducing the new Get It Out of My Fucking Throat Space Age Design, right? It just looks like a Lady Bic. It's made out of rubber. You know, like a rubber spatula, how it gets the liquid out really great out of the bottom of a saucepan? It's just something like that. I don't know what it would look like. Somehow you just get it out of there. Or if you just made like these little gelatin pills that you put in the back of your throat, that it's made out of the same chemical composite of like liquid Drano. There's not enough Drano to kill you, but there's enough to fucking eat up the hair in the back of your throat, you know? But then the problem is how, you know, last time I got a haircut in the back of my throat this bad was like fucking 20 years ago when I first moved to New York. And I literally sat across from Patrice and I fucking ate a whole loaf of bread talking to him without really noticing. And he was just staring at me, sort of clocking all what the fuck I was doing before he finally brought it up. And he thought it was really crazy that I just ate a whole fucking loaf of bread because he was a diabetic, you know, and his shit would have gone through the roof, however the fuck it worked. Anyway, all that shit bugs me. Yeah, I can't be the only one who's bugged by this selfie stick, and not because you think it's stupid, but just thinking like it was fucking right there. Every day I walk by people holding their fucking cameras out with their goddamn arm. The fucking selfie stick was just sitting there waiting to be invented, and I didn't fucking do it. And now I got to go to a chuckle hut this weekend. Speaking of which, the Punchline, Sunday in Atlanta. I'm going to be down there for two shows, and they lost their lease. This thing is literally a museum. The headshots, the autographs on the walls, all that. It's a real shame that they're losing it. And they asked me to come back and do one more night there before they close down, and I'm a sentimental fool, and plus I love those guys out there. They've done so much for me, so I definitely got to do that. And then Monday, I'm going to be at the South by Southwest Comedy Festival for All Things Comedy. I'll be doing a live podcast with Al Madrigal. I'll be doing a stand-up show that will be hosted by the one and only Paul, dude, I called it, Don't Say I'm from Jersey, Versey. And I think I might have one other thing out there, but that's going to be my Sunday, Monday. So I got a bunch of shit that I want to talk about, a bunch of new stuff that I got to do. And I got to study for my test because I'm getting close here, getting ready. Oh, dude, that's going to be the fucking best. I get this fucking license, then I take the auto rotation, the advanced auto rotation class, so I can fucking drop it down in my backyard if I ever have a problem. And then I'm good to go. Then all I got to do is find some poor cocksucker that's going through a fucking divorce. That's the deal, dude. Anytime you're buying a hot rod, anytime you're buying a boat, anytime you're buying a toy, like if you want to buy a helicopter, you don't go out and just buy a fucking helicopter. You got to find some wounded cunt that went out there and just bought one loaded, and his relationship went south. His wife is fucking sick of it. Either that goes or I go, or they're getting divorced, or God forbid somebody got fucking cancer of the left sinus, something, and they need cash, and you got to go in there. You know who taught me that one? Christopher Titus. He taught me that one as far as cars, and I've applied that straight across the board when it comes to buying fucking toys. You got to find some dude that is fucking the ship, like the storm is coming. It's not going to get any better, and he's giving into it, all right? Or he's digging in. I need money for lawyers, whatever, and you got to go in there and buy that shit out from underneath him. So I'm going to try to buy an R44 off some motherfucker that's just going through some shit. And then that'll be it, dude. And I'm going to fucking cruise around in that thing right over fucking L.A., flying over Dodger Stadium, over the fucking Rose Bowl, fly my ass up to Santa Barbara. Why the fuck not? You only live once, right? Oh, did I just say that? I didn't mean it in that YOLO way. Those fucking cunts. That generation, everything's about me. Jesus fucking Christ, I thought I was narcissistic. And then those cunts came around. They outdid me. Those bastards. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to play some classic clips from the Monday Morning Podcast, which is cool because even if you heard them, these things are great. And if you haven't heard them before, you know, I got a whole bunch of episodes that I don't have up online for whatever reason. But we're going to be playing some classic clips every single week from the podcast. And, you know, whatever, write in. If there's something you just want me to go on a rant on just because you're pissed about, I might not even be pissed about it. Maybe that could be the bit. I'll just say that I could give a fuck about this. But you know what? You know, Susan Rabinowitz out there in Portland, Oregon gives a fuck, and I'm going to do her a solid. I'm going to try to convey her fucking anger in this thing or whatever. Thank you to everybody that, you know, was trying to look for some new music. Somehow I have 9 million songs on my phone, and I was bored with all of them. So thank you for all the suggestions you guys had. All right, that's it. I got to run here. I'll talk to you guys on Monday for the official podcast. Hope you enjoyed the first Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast. All right, I'll see you.
Hey! What's going on? It's Bill Burr. This is my my fucking podcast. And Bobby Kelly set it up. Isn't this interesting? Listen, I'm going to figure out how to do this thing. And if it's already bored, you just hit the stop button. Why are you doing that? Put the click button down.
Tell them what. I'm looking actually at the bottom of the podcast on your MySpace page.
At the bottom of my pie. Okay, the bottom. At the what? At the bottom of my page. Right underneath.
Listen, right underneath the podcast.
Right.
They can hit subscribe.
Oh, right underneath the podcast, you can hit subscribe.
So that will go right to you. Anytime there's a new podcast.
Anytime there's a new podcast, it'll go right to you where you're at.
It's a new one.
That's what's going to happen. That's going to help fill the void. All right, this is fucking horrific, but, you know, this is the beginning of something mediocre. So I want you guys to tune in, all right? Now what do? I hit pound? Okay. Pound. So anyways, I go to the Rose Bowl with a comedian. We're just going to call him Joe, all right? Because that's the classic alias name. When you don't want to get somebody in trouble, you just call him Joe. But the ironic thing is this guy's name is actually Joe. So me and Joe, we go to the fellow comedian, and you can try to figure out who the fuck he is. And it's not Piscopo. We go to the Rose Bowl, and we had great intentions. Okay, let me paint a picture for you, okay? When you go to the Rose Bowl, it's one of the great tailgating experiences you'll ever have. First of all, you go into the Rose Bowl, okay, the granddaddy of them all, home of a bunch of Super Bowls. What Super Bowls? That Super Bowl, you ever see that famous Lynn Swan catch? That wasn't made there. I actually realized that was made at Temple University, wasn't it? I don't fucking know. There's been a... Oh, no, I know. The Jackie Slater one where he dropped the ball. That's right. That Cowboys-Steelers one. The greatest fucking, I don't know, clash of two powerhouse teams I ever saw was the, I don't know, whatever. They played a bunch of fucking things there, and I don't have the information in front of me, and I'm really killing the momentum of the story. So anyway, so you go there, right? And you get right behind the Rose Bowl is what I'm assuming is an 18-hole golf course. Because God knows that's how big it felt at the end of the game when I was too shit-faced and we couldn't find the car and we walked for 4 hours. But that I'm getting ahead of myself. You know what? I'm foreshadowing. I'm doing what all great movies do. You know what I mean? You go see a movie. Whenever they show a movie about a guy who dies, everybody knows he's going to die. So they show him dying in the beginning. And then the next scene is they go back to his childhood. You know what I mean? Except they never do that with the Elvis movie, because then they'd have to start the movie with some fat fuck dying on a toilet, and no one wants to do that. I just want to be your teddy bear. Is that my pancreas? Plop. Anyways, so Jesus Christ, let's get some momentum here. So we go to this tailgate, all right, and this is the deal. Basically, there's just two of us, and amongst us, we have four hamburger patties, two bags of chips, hamburger buns, 12-pack of Bud Light, 12-pack of Budweiser, and a Clint Eastwood canteen size of fucking Crown Royal, and two Cuban cigars that I snuck back from fucking Canada. So we're ready to go. I got my sunblock. We loaded up into the Prius, which is just fucking hilarious. You know, everybody tries to outman people at the tailgates. People coming up there with their fucking, you know, four-door pickups with the lift kits, you know, their generators. This guy had a fucking satellite dish and a flat-screen TV. You know, I came there with a little hibachi, but whatever. But we had the big thing of Crown Royal, so people, and Cuban cigars, so no one fucked with us, right? So we're having a great time. All of a sudden, this lady comes walking by, and she's like, hey, do you want to buy a little ticket holder for your ticket? I'm like, absolutely, sweetheart. $10 a whack. Let me get that two times there, baby. You know, you get a cigar in your mouth. You start getting a little swagger. For some reason, one of your legs starts rocking back and forth like you're going to sing an Elvis song. I was feeling it. And the great thing was I didn't give a fuck about either team, USC or Penn State. I was just happy to fucking be there, you know? But I quickly realized most people were for the Trojans, so automatically I'm a cunt, second cunt of the year. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna root for Penn State because this gives me way more chance to annoy people. Plus, I've never liked USC, and most of it has to do with back in the day I used to be a Notre Dame fan before Lou Holtz with their holier than thou. We don't do steroids. Shut the fuck up. Yes, you do. All right. I had acne when I was fucking a teenager, right? But it wasn't all over my back. And I also couldn't pick up a house, okay? So you fucking people are doing steroids. Anyways, and also I always hated the Trojans fight song. They play it every 3 seconds. Bah, 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 bah. You know, they gain like half a yard. And it also reminds me of Fleetwood Mac, who I never liked. So fuck the Trojans, right? So anyway, so we're sitting there. We're drinking. We're partying. We're eating burgers. And then we break out the Crown Royal after we had polished off a good half a case between the two of us. It's probably 9:30 in the morning. And we just start pounding this Crown Royal, which is going down like fucking Kool-Aid. I was really impressed with my ability, or at least the makers of Crown Royal. That is some smooth shit. So basically, we start walking towards the stadium, and the alcohol is flowing through me, and that's when I go into my transformation. I don't know what happens to me at sporting events, but instantly I just become the loud guy. I feel like I'm doing a comedy show. I want to make the people around me laugh, and I also want to irritate as many fucking people as I can. So I start walking in there, and I quickly notice, I went to go buy a program. I'm trying to put this all back together because I was pretty drunk. I go, just to give you an idea of the mood that I was in, I get to about 100 yards from the stadium. This lady's selling programs. And she's like, hey, get your programs here. Come on, get your programs. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I want a souvenir. So I walk up. I'm like, how much are they? She's like, $10. I'm like, all right, fine. So this other guy comes walking up. He goes, how much for the programs? And the lady's like, $10, right? And the guy starts bitching, $10, you ain't gonna be kidding me, right? So I'm standing there. I got a Cuban cigar. I go, you know what? Let me get another one. Two times. Let me get two of those. All right, one for you over there. And the guy's like, really? I go, take a look at me. I go, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at a big shot. Take a good look. There's not a lot of us left. I swear to God I said that, and I was so drunk, I was only half joking. Like, I knew I was being an asshole, but, like, I was only half joking. I had a fucking Cuban cigar. Go fuck yourself. And who goes to the Rose Bowl and bitches about a $10 fucking program? You know what I mean? He should have been de-pantsed, and he should have had his tickets removed right there and sent right back to wherever the fuck he came from. Send to an Applebee's. Watch the game there, all right? What kind of fucking behavior is that of the granddaddy of them all? Take your fucking money out and play the goddamn game, all right? So anyway, so I'm hammered, right? And we're walking, and I don't know what happened. We got into the stadium. Everything was cool. And then they have this weird sort of, like, they funnel you in because it's a really old stadium. it's like, you know, it's like trying to go through the Lincoln Tunnel like 5 o'clock at night. It's a pain in the ass. So I'm standing there. I'm getting frustrated because it's getting close to kickoff, and I hate missing kickoff. So I'm getting pissed. And I noticed that the Penn State fans, they got this chant where one of them out of nowhere just yells, "We are!" And then all the Penn State fans go, "Penn State!" And then the dude yells again, "We are!" And they all go, "Penn State!" And they say it like 5 times. And then in the end, the guy who starts the chant goes, "Thank you!" And then everybody screams, "You're welcome!" And I immediately noticed that it annoyed the shit out of all these USC fans. You know, because they kind of felt like it was a home game because they were out there. So next thing you know, I didn't even think it. Next thing you know, coming out of my mouth, I'm going, "We are!" I'm not from Penn State. I don't know shit, right? But I just start going, "We are!" And everybody starts going, "Penn State!" "We are Penn State!" And I'm like, "Thank you!" And they're like, "You're welcome!" I'm like, "This is fucking awesome. I can do this the whole game and annoy the shit out of people around me." So, like, it took us 20 minutes to get through the tunnel. And I swear to God, it was like perfect timing. Right as we got through the tunnel, this chick is finishing singing the national anthem as we just take in the Rose Bowl on a sunny California day. Everybody's wearing their Trojan colors. Everybody's wearing their Penn State. There's pom-poms. People are going fucking nuts. And this lady's like, "And the home of the brave." And right as she finished, a fucking stealth bomber flies right over the goddamn top. I'm shit-faced. It's like a fucking acid trip. I almost passed out, right? So now, you know, we got end zone seats. You know, evidently I'm not a big shot. And we're way at the top of the stadium, which is a really rough thing to negotiate when you're a redhead drinking whiskey in the sun, right? So we get all the way up to, like, row whatever, fucking triple F. And, you know, it's an old stadium, okay? And, you know, back in the day, like, you were tall if you were, like, 5'6" when the stadium was built. And now, you know, with fucking growth hormones and all the preservatives in the food, we've basically outgrown the stadiums, not to mention the cheesecake factories that half these fucking people go to every other day. So I'm trying to walk a tightrope down. I'm literally acting this out in my bedroom, by the way. This is how into these stories I get to tell. So I'm literally walking a fucking tightrope trying to get down to my seat, and I just become that guy. I fell. I didn't fall. I sort of like lift. It was like, almost like I was on a I was the only guy in a ship that was in a fucking perfect storm. And all of a sudden, the whole thing just lifted to the right side, and I landed on this like 55-year-old lady's back. Didn't like land. Like I was on one foot, and I put a nice forearm, little Ulf Samuelson in front of the net, fucking action, right on her back. And I was so drunk, it took me, I swear to God, at least 28 seconds to get off her. And the entire time, I am apologizing with my fucking cigar whiskey breath, just going, I'm sorry. And I just, I couldn't get off her because the only way to get off her was to put all my weight on my forearm and use her as a banister to push me back up because nobody's fucking helping me because I'm obviously the drunk guy. You don't want to touch me. So 28 seconds of trying to figure out if I have the quad strength to pull myself up without pushing off the back of this old lady's neck. I finally just say, fuck it, and just drive the meat of my forearm right between her shoulder blades, and I get up. And I apologize profusely. And I don't know what Joe was doing at this point. He was fucking probably just standing there watching the game. But basically, we finally get to our seats. It was unreal. I don't even know what. We got to our seats, and we turn around. We face the game to watch the game. And next thing you know, this lady is just screaming at us. She's like, "Hey, la, 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 la," screaming. And she's yelling, "You can't smoke in here." And I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about? Because I put my cigar out. I'm going to tell you, dude, the fucking Cuban is sweet too, man. I smoked that thing all the way down like a goddamn roach. It's like burning my fucking fingers. And she's yelling, "Stop smoking." I'm like, the fuck is she talking about? Do I smell like a cigar? And I look to my right. And Joe is standing there with the fucking Cuban cigar still lit in his mouth. I don't know how the fuck he got it past security. I think it's because we had our tickets, those ticket things I bought, around our neck. I don't know if he had it down by his side, but he's sitting there chomping on it like fucking Archie Bunker. So, you know, in defense of me, if she just turned around and she had just said, hey, guys, you know, that, you know, I don't know if you know, but there's no smoking in here. Yeah, I would have been, you know, I'm a happy drunk. I swear to God. I'm angry when I'm sober, but I swear to, I'm a happy drunk. I just would have been like, hey, sorry about that. We didn't know. Oh, what are you for, USC? All right, good luck. Bah, ha, ha, whatever. I would have kept it at that. But she fucking was yelling at us. So I don't like being yelled at. And I like being, I like fucking with people. And I'm shit-faced. And Joe is of the same ilk. And then that's when it all started. She just basically, she's like, hey, she goes, there's no smoking in here. And then immediately I just go, I'm just like, hey, says who? She goes, it's California. You're not allowed to smoke indoors. We're like, we're outside. And she goes, you're not allowed to smoke. And I go, you're not my mother. This isn't our section. This isn't your section. Turn around, right? I just kept being an asshole. And then finally she goes, I'm going to call security. And I'm like, call him. She goes, I'm going to call him. I go, go ahead and call him. And in my head, my brain is going, Bill, shut up. Shut up. You're going to get, we're 90 seconds into the game. You're going to get kicked out. And I just couldn't stop myself. I just kept saying, call him. Call him. And then she made some sort of comment, I think about the size of Joe's nose. And then he said, hey, he goes, you need to lose 100 pounds to talk to me, bitch. I swear to God, he said that. And then this guy to the left of us turns around, and he's like, hey, I got my kid here. I got my kid here. What are you cursing? And then Joe goes, well, then don't bring him to a fucking football game. So now I'm doing that laugh. You know that laugh where, like, your mouth is wide open, but there's no air coming in or out? I'm having the time of my life, and then the fucking guy goes, he goes, I'm going to call security. And then I'm just, then once again, I'm going, call him. I'm going to call him. Go ahead and call him. Call him. I was just calling that bluff because we were so fucking jam-packed, and I knew they weren't going to walk down there and go do that. So that lady makes another fucking comment, at which point Joe makes another comment about her weight, and then she just turns down and is like, Mark, and yells down to her husband. And next thing you know, this fucking dude comes running over, and he starts screaming at us. And as he's screaming at us, this spray is coming out of his mouth all over his wife. So as he's yelling, I was just going, sir, you're spitting on your wife. And once, you know, the whole thing was pathetic. He was like 53, but like, and I'm 40, and I'm thinking, like, I'm not too old to fight this guy. You know, it was just, oh, God, I'm trying to piece this together. So then we all sit down, right? So then we sit down. I think Joe had put out the cigar. Maybe he was just holding it down. I don't know what was going on. But now, by this time, we had already missed the kickoff. The Trojans get the ball. And I think this is basically the one good play Penn State made all day. The Trojans, their first play, I think, offense, they handed off the ball, and they tried to do, like, some sort of sweep. The Penn State defense strung it out and just stuck this guy either for no gain or for like loss of 1 yard. And then Joe, who I forgot to mention is a good 6'4", just a huge guy, just starts screaming like an inch from the back of the lady's head, who's a Trojan fan. He just starts screaming like, nothing. I can't believe like her hair wasn't moving. He was yelling so loud. And she, I don't know, she turned around. Now that's just obnoxious. It was great. It was fucking great. And then basically what would happen for the rest of the game, shit would calm down. And then we would mumble something about her. And then she would fucking yell down to her husband. And then he'd come over threatening to kick our ass. And we would just laugh at him. And then, I don't know. I just realized I was so drunk, I can't even remember the rest. I remember it was the very end of the game. Joe or somebody said something about the score, and then the lady in front of us goes, yeah, I'm surprised you can count that high. I go, yeah, why don't you try counting calories, right? Something real mean like that. And then once again, she's like, Mark! And then at this point, half the crowd had left because it was such a blowout. This dude comes over, and he starts fucking screaming at me. doesn't scream at Joe because Joe's 6'4". He yells at me because I'm fucking barely 5'10", and I'm a fucking redhead, right? Even with the shaved head, I still look like fucking Howdy Doody. So he starts yelling at me, and he keeps telling me, yeah, I'm going to fire you down on the field. That's what he kept saying. He kept telling me he was going to grab me and fire me down on the fucking field. And I was just, you know, and I was just being an asshole. Go ahead, do it. Do it. I'm going to fire you down the field. You said that. You already said that. You already said it. You already said it, you fucking cunt. All right? If you're going to do it, you would have, and you didn't. So you're not. So sit down and shut the fuck up. Which is funny, because by the end of the game, everyone in the stands somehow liked us and hated those people. I mean, half of it was because they were assholes. The other half was they couldn't hear the shit that we were mumbling at this dude's wife. Who I know at this point you might have a little bit of sympathy for her, but I mean, I'm telling you, she was an asshole, and she's the one who made it personal first. She made the comment about Joe's nose. She was doing real hacky lines too. She told me I was ugly. She goes, and I always can lose weight, you know, which I believe I saw during the second season of Def Jam. And, you know, and I thought what we were coming with was a lot more clever. And if it was a battle of the bands in a stand-up situation, I think we won. So basically what ended up happening, I know this is a long-ass fucking story. I don't even have time for questions this week. But long story short, we ended up walking out. Oh, and I believe that, somehow the lady in front of us, too, who was being a jerk, had a bunch of these dark streaks on the back of her shirt towards the end of it. I don't know what it was. It almost looked like ashes from a cigar, but I know that that didn't happen because there's no smoking in there. But anyways, we go to leave, and we're basically so drunk. I don't know, man. It took us like fucking 9 hours. It literally took us 50 minutes to find our car. And I think it was karma for being such assholes in the stadium. And I don't know who the fuck set up the parking lot things out there, but they basically, the way they do the sections on this golf course is they have like balloons. They just have numbers, number one, number two, number three, but they're not lit up. So you can't really see them at night. So you walk out of the stadium drunk and you look up and you see, I saw the number two where we were parked. But, you know, you got to follow the path because you can't walk through the sand traps and shit like that. So you look down for half a second, and then you look up, and there's like a big fucking oak tree in front of you, and now you don't know where you are. It's like the end of The Shining without the shrubs. It's a fucking golf course, right? So, and you're far enough away from the stadium where you can't get your bearings, and we're just wandering around and around and around, and it's getting to the point like, you know, like hypothermia is becoming an issue. Because it's a desert. It starts getting cold. We're shit-faced, and we just can't fucking find a car. It was like the Blair Witch. We kept coming back to the same goddamn ladies' tees, wherever the fuck we were. And then I lost all confidence in my ability to find the damn car, so I start following Joe, who is convinced, even though we both know we're parked in Section 2, we went from Section 3 to Section 4 to Section 5, and he keeps telling me to go in that direction. Because for some reason, he thinks numerically it's going to go 3, 4, 5, 2. I don't know. Took us an hour to find the fucking car. And at that point, I started sobering up, and I started thinking about our behavior. And I was starting thinking, like, you know, I kind of feel like an asshole. Yeah, you know, I should have taken the higher ground, even though that girl was a cunt, you know. And he was just like, what are you talking about? She was a cunt. We treated her like one, and that's it. That's what I love about that guy. He just breaks it down to the simplest fucking point. Hey, buddy, I got my kid here. Well, don't take your kid to a fucking football game. Which, you know, I know that's harsh, especially if you have kids, but think about it. Why would you bring your kid to a professional, to a sporting event? Not only that, the guy with the kid is being hypocritical, because he was me before he had a kid. All right, he was having the time of his fucking life, and what now? Because he has a kid, now all of a sudden I'm supposed to fucking act my age. You know, it's like the fucking baby boom generation. They bang so much, they're fucking in the mud at Woodstock, that by the time I come around, there's herpes and AIDS and all this shit. And then these, you know, then they come around with their don't do drugs, wear a condom shit after they had the time of their fucking lives. I'm so glad all of them are getting, that whole generation is getting hip replacements now with their fucking, because they all had that fucking Olivia Newton-John high-impact aerobics tape that they did trying to stay in shape. That's the one good fucking thing, considering I got to fuck with a goddamn trash bag around my dick my entire career, right? The very least, I at least knew to stretch before you lifted weights, and I also knew the dangers of high-impact aerobics. Okay, when I did my aerobics, I definitely was rocking the leg warmers, but I did not let my feet leave the ground. Okay, so anyways, so that's my Rose Bowl story. It's a fucking long one, I know that, but I think it had some nice moments. But, yeah, but getting back to that, what do you guys think about that stuff? You know, sporting events are not for children. Okay, and I know they always try to talk about the good old days of sports. The good old days of sports is bullshit. Okay? When I was a kid, the first football game I went to, I was fucking terrified. I was terrified. It was not a place for kids. It was a place for adults who hadn't achieved what they thought they were going to achieve in life to get their fucking anger and frustration out. People within loveless marriages, you know? People, you know? People who could tell they were going to get laid off the next week, or maybe they already got laid off, and they just wanted to get it out, okay? And they, you know, they've now turned going to a fucking football game into like you're standing in line with a bunch of people waiting to get their kids, you know, photo taken with Santa Claus. You know, and even if you go further back than my childhood, which was the 70s, early 80s, if you go back to the 1950s, they talk about that. Oh, the good old days of sports. Oh, what do you mean, when they finally let a black guy play in baseball and they threw a fucking black cat on the field and all that racist shit that was going on. Can you imagine the shit that was getting yelled in the stands when Billy Crystal was going down? Oh, to go down and go watch the Mick. Boy, oh boy, I got myself a hot dog and a sarsaparilla. You know, they always tell those stories about how great it was back then. It wasn't. It wasn't great. They were way more racist, way more ignorant, way more sexist, and people went to the games and they saw Johnny Unitas, okay? So now, for some reason, now it's my turn to be an asshole and be a drunk and have a good time, and all of a sudden I have to take everything down a level, you know? Now it's Chuck E. Cheese time. It isn't. And I know you guys are saying, well, that's because you don't have a kid right now. No, fuck that. Fuck that. I wouldn't bring my kid to the game, or if I brought the kid to the game, I would prepare him. I'd prepare him, you know? This is what's going to happen, okay? You might see a fight, you know? Hey, Dad might even get in one. No, I'm not. I never took it to that level. But you know what I mean? I think, I don't know. Look it. This is how guilty I am for my behavior the other day. I actually pulled up a quote from George Orwell, who, granted, this is from Wikipedia, which the other day I looked up something that I knew something about and was completely inaccurate. But this is, according to Wikipedia, George Orwell said, serious sport has nothing to do with fair play. It's bound up with hatred, jealousy, boastfulness, disregard of all rules, and sadistic pleasures in witnessing violence. In other words, it's war minus the shooting. Exactly. Now, why the fuck would you bring a child to that? And not only that, when was George Orwell alive? A long fucking time ago. I don't know when he was alive. When did he write 1984? He didn't write it in 83. I know that. He wrote it in like the 30s, didn't he? I'm just saying, see, that's how he described sports back then. So guys like, you know, these Billy Crystal guys who always do those little heartwarming stories about, you know, their baseball cards and going down to the baseball stadium and acting like it was this fucking, you know, this time that was lost. You know, George Orwell, right there, according to Wikipedia. I think I proved my point. I'm a moron. But I did have a good time. And I'm going to tell you right this right now. If you ever get a chance in your life to smoke a Cuban cigar, definitely do it. All right? Because I'm not even a big smoker, and I could tell how fucking amazing that cigar was because I've drank fine wines, and I can't tell the difference.